This is Natalie Hutchison with UN News. The vast majority of the world's nearly 26 million refugees are hosted in the Global South, where providing education for them is a major challenge, the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, said on Friday. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, the agency's Mamadou Diagne Baldé, that's the deputy director of UNHCR's Division of Resilience and Resolutions, explains how a new plan is helping to provide not just primary, but also secondary schooling to vulnerable youngsters.
Primary education still remains an issue. However, you also have much bigger challenges at secondary level as well as tertiary level.
How many millions are we talking about? How many refugees are there? What, 25 million in the world, 26 million?
Yeah, we've got about 25, 26 million as of last year. Most of them, 84% in refugee-hosting countries that happen to be in the Global South. So refugees are hosted in some of the most deprived areas of our countries, and at the same time within these countries, in the most deprived part of these countries.
The report is calling for help from governments, from communities, from the private sector to sort of change the way that refugees get education. The aim is not to do it so much in camps now as in host communities. Maybe you could expand on that and explain how our host communities going to deal with this.
We've got examples of places where government have made changes. Policy changes, very generous ones.
Go on then, where for example?
For example, in Djibouti, for example, in Uganda, for example, in Mexico, for example, in the countries affected by the Venezuela situation, but also in the Middle East and North Africa, Turkey, Lebanon, etc. So we see many of these good examples, but these good examples need sustainability.
What are they doing exactly?
They are allowing refugees to access into the secondary school, the existing schools, not obliging them to go and have their own education on their own. So including the refugees into the national education systems, allowing them to have additional teachers, additional schools where required. But we also see a lot of development actors, development partners, like the World Bank, like bilateral donors, coming in support of them.
So this is new income streams. This is how you're going to do it, because UNHCR can't do it on its own and governments haven't got the resources. So you're appealing, as part of the Global Compact on Refugees, to get a new income stream. What sort of money do you need to make this work?
I cannot tell you about the exact amount that is needed, but for example, you take Uganda, has a 4 years plan for over $380 million in the course of 4 years. That's an education response plan developed for both refugee children as well as affected host populations. That's the type of amount of resources that is being costed under the leadership of the government, with development actors, UNHCR, and few other NGOs and the UN agencies coming together and joining effort into understanding exactly what is being required, and then so that donors as well as communities and others can contribute to responding to those needs. That's just an example, but there are many other examples.
So in the immediate instance, if you go to somewhere like Greece, the Greek islands, there was an alert recently about the fact that thousands of refugee children are still not attending school. The islands don't have the resources, neither does Athens. What's going to help them now? Because they really do need assistance immediately, don't they?
They do need assistance, but they also need policy changes. So policy changes that will allow these children to have access to education, but at the same time also human as well as financial resources.
You also mentioned that in Lebanon there are thousands more Syrian children who fled the conflict there, and that if these children aren't looked after and given an education, we risk reaping the consequences of not looking after them. What exactly do you mean by that?
It's about being excluded in countries that have hosted them. They were already excluded and displaced because of the conflict in the country. And then coming into these host countries, they need the least that is needed is to provide them with the type of education, including civic education, including cohesion with the host population, so that that brighter future that we do see for Syria when times arise, I think, is being correctly filled by people who are equipped with education.
Two final questions to you. How many countries and where are you focusing on initially in this new initiative for secondary and tertiary education for refugees? And why is education so important for refugees, for anyone?
We are thinking of few countries in the Eastern Horn of Africa, like Rwanda, Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda. Few others in Asia, like Pakistan. And in these countries, as I was saying, these are really the starting point. We are going to target about 15, 16 countries for youth education and secondary education in the long run, in order to make sure that it's not only supporting the refugees who are immediately in need of that support, but also some of the affected host populations.
And education is so important because?
It is the one that will help the refugees and our future know what should happen to be able to thrive, but also to contribute to our societies that have hosted them, but also the future when they return home or when they are resettled or when they are locally integrated.